I take this picture of myself and with my sewing scissors cut out the face. Now it is more accurate. Where my eyes were, everything appears. The Journals of Susanna Moody. Journal 1, 1832 to 1840. Disembarking in Quebec.
Is it my clothes, my way of walking, the things I carry in my hand, a book, a bag with knitting, the incongruous pink of my shawl, this space cannot hear? Or is it my own lack of conviction which makes these vistas of desolation? Long hills, the swamps, the barren sand, the glare of sun on the bone-white drift logs, omens of winter, the moon, alien in daytime, a thin refusal. The others leap, shout, freedom. The moving water will not show me my reflection. The rocks ignore. I am a word in a foreign language.
Further arrivals. After we had crossed the long illness that was the ocean, we sailed up river. On the first island, the immigrants threw off their clothes and danced like sandflies. We left behind, one by one, the cities rotting with cholera, one by one our civilized distinctions, and entered a large darkness. It was our own ignorance we entered. I have not come out yet. My brain gropes nervous tentacles in the night, sends out fears hairy as bears, demands lamps, or waiting for my shadowy husband, hears malice in the trees whispers. I need wolf's eyes to see the truth. I refuse to look in a mirror. Whether the wilderness is real or not depends on who lives there.
First neighbors, the people I live among, unforgivingly previous to me, grudging the way I breathe their property, the air, speaking a twisted dialect to my differently shaped ears, though I tried to adapt. The girl in a red tattered petticoat who jeered at me for my burned bread. Go back where you came from. I tightened my lips, knew that England was now unreachable, had sunk down into the sea without ever teaching me about washtubs. Got used to being a minor invalid, expected to make inept remarks, futile and spastic gestures. Asked the Indian about the squat thing on a stick, drying by the fire. Is that a toad? Annoyed, he said, no, no, deer liver, very good. Finally, I grew a chapped tarpaulin skin. I negotiated the drizzle of strange meaning, set it down to just the latitude, something to be endured but not surprised by. Inaccurate. The forest can still trick me. One afternoon, while I was drawing birds, a malignant face flickered over my shoulder. The branches quivered. Resolve. To be both tentative and hard to startle. Though clumsiness and fright are inevitable. In this area where my damaged knowing of the language means prediction is forever impossible. The planters. They move between the jagged edge of the forest and the jagged river on a stumpy patch of cleared land. My husband, a neighbor, another man, weeding the few rows of string beans and dusty potatoes. They bend, straighten, The sun lights up their faces and hands, candles flickering in the wind against the unbright earth. I see them. I know none of them believe they are here. They deny the ground they stand on, pretend this dirt is the future. And they are right. If they let go of that illusion solid to them as a shovel, open their eyes even for a moment to these trees, to this particular sun, they would be surrounded, stormed, broken in upon by branches, roots, tendrils, the dark side of light, as I am. The Weir Man. My husband walks in the frosted field, an X, a concept defined against a blank. He swerves, enters the forest, and is blotted out. Unheld by my sight, what does he change into? What other shape blends with the undergrowth? Wavers across the pools, is camouflaged from the listening swamp animals. At noon he will return. Or it may be only my idea of him I will find returning, with him hiding behind it. He may change me also, with the fox eye, the owl eye, the eightfold eye of the spider. I can't think what he will see when he opens the door. Paths and Thingscape. Those who went ahead of us in the forest bent the early trees so that they grew to signals. The trail was not among the trees, but the trees. And there are some who have dreams of birds flying in the shapes of letters, the sky's codes, and dream also the significance of numbers, count petals of certain flowers. In the morning I advance through the doorway, the sun on the bark, the intertwisted branches, here a blue movement in the leaves. Dispersed calls, no trails, rocks and gray tufts of moss. The petals of the fireweed fall where they fall. I am watched like an invader who knows hostility but not where. The day shrinks back from me. When will be that union and each thing, bits of surface broken by my footstep, will, without moving, move around me into its place. The two fires. One, the summer fire outside, the trees melting, returning to their first red elements on all sides, cutting me off from escape or the saving lake. I sat in the house, raised up between that shapeless raging and my sleeping children, a charm. Concentrate on form. Geometry, the human architecture of the house. Square closed doors, proved roof beams, the logic of windows. The children could not be wakened. In their calm dreaming, the trees were straight and still had branches and were green. The other, the winter fire, inside. The protective roof shriveling overhead, the rafters incandescent, all those corners and straight lines flaming, the carefully made structure prisoning us in a cage of blazing bars. The children were awake and crying. I wrapped them, carried them outside into the snow. Then I tried to rescue what was left of their scorched dream about the house. Blankets, warm clothes, the singed furniture of safety cast away with them in a white chaos. Two fires informed me. Each refuge fails us. Each danger becomes a haven. left charred marks now around which I try to grow. Looking in a mirror. It was as if I woke after a sleep of 7 years, to find stiff-laced, religious black rotted off by earth and the strong waters. And instead my skin thickened with bark and the white hairs of roots. My heirloom face I brought with me, a crushed eggshell among other debris, the china plate shattered on the forest road, the shawl from India decayed, pieces of letters. And the sun here had stained me its barbarous color. Hands grown stiff, the fingers brittle as twigs, eyes bewildered after 7 years, and almost blind. Buds which can see only the wind. The mouth cracking open like a rock in fire, trying to say, "What is this?" You find only the shape you already are. But what? If you have forgotten that, or discover you have never known. Departure from the bush. I, who had been erased by fire, was crept in upon by green. How lucid a season. In time the animals arrived to inhabit me, first one by one, stealthily, their habitual traces burnt. Then, having marked new boundaries, returning, more confident, year by year, two by two. But restless, I was not ready altogether to be moved into. They could tell I was too heavy. I might capsize. I was frightened by their eyes, green or amber, glowing out from inside me. I was not completed. At night I could not see without lanterns. He wrote, "We are leaving." I said, "I have no clothes left I can wear." The snow came. The sleigh was a relief. Its track lengthened behind, pushing me toward the city. And rounding the first hill, I was instantaneous. Unlived in. They had gone. There was something they almost taught me. I came away not having learned. Journal 2, 1840 to 1871. Death of a young son by drowning. He who navigated with success the dangerous river of his own birth, once more set forth on a voyage of discovery into the land I floated on, but could not touch to claim. His feet slid on the bank. The currents took him. He swirled with ice and trees in the swollen water and plunged into distant regions, his head a bathysphere. Through his eyes, thin glass bubbles, he looked out, reckless adventurer, on a landscape stranger than Uranus, we have all been to, and some remember. There was an accident. The air locked. He was hung in the river like a heart. They retrieved the swamped body, cairn of my plans and future charts, with poles and hooks from among the nudging logs. It was spring. The sun kept shining. The new grass leapt to solidity. My hands glistened with details. After the long trip, I was tired of waves. My foot hit rock. The dreamed sails collapsed, ragged,
I planted him in this country like a flag.
The immigrants. They are allowed to inherit the sidewalks involved as palm lines. Bricks exhausted and soft, the deep lawn smells, orchards whorled to the land's contours, the inflected weather, only to be told they are too poor to keep it up, or someone has noticed and wants to kill them, or the towns pass laws which declare them obsolete. I see them coming up from the hold, smelling of vomit, infested, emaciated, their skins gray with travel. As they step on shore, the old countries recede, become perfect thumbnail castles preserved like gallstones in a glass bottle. The towns dwindle upon the hillsides in a light, paperweight clear. They carry their carpet bags and trunks with clothes, dishes, the family pictures. They think they will make an order like the old one. Sow miniature orchards, carve children and flocks out of wood. But always they're too poor. The sky is flat, the green fruit shrivels in the prairie sun. Wood is for burning. And if they go back, the towns in time have crumbled. Their tongues stumble among awkward teeth. Their ears are filled with the sound of breaking glass. I wish I could forget them, and so forget myself. My mind is a wide pink map across which move year after year arrows and dotted lines, further and further. People in railway cars, their heads stuck out of the windows at stations, drinking milk or singing, their features hidden with beards or shawls, day and night, riding across an ocean of unknown land to an unknown land. Dream One, the Bush Garden. I stood once more in that garden, sold, deserted, and gone to seed. In the dream I could see down through the earth, could see the potatoes curled like pale grubs in the soil, the radishes thrusting down their fleshy snouts, the beets pulsing like slow amphibian hearts. Around my feet the strawberries were surging, huge and shining. When I bent to pick, my hands came away red and wet. In the dream I said, I should have known anything planted here would come up blood. '37 war in retrospect. One of the things I found out by being there and after, that history, that list of ballooning wishes, flukes, bent times, plunges, and mistakes clutched like parachutes, is rolling itself up in your head at one end and unrolling at the other. That this war will soon be among those tiny ancestral figures flickering dull white through the back of your skull, confused, anxious, not sure any more what they are doing there, appearing from time to time with idiot faces and hands clusters of bananas, holding flags, holding guns, advancing through the trees, brown line, green scribble, or crouching within a rough gray crayon diagram of a fort, shooting at each other. The smoke and red fire made actual through a child's fingers. Dream Two, Brian the Still Hunter. The man I saw in the forest used to come to our house every morning, never said anything. I learned from the neighbors later he once tried to cut his throat. I found him at the end of the path,
sitting on a fallen tree, cleaning his gun. There was no wind. Around us, the leaves rustled. He said to me, "I kill because I have to. But every time I aim, I feel my skin grow fur, my head heavy with antlers. And during the stretched instant the bullet glides on its thread of speed, my soul runs innocent as hooves. Is God just to his creatures? I die more often than many." He looked up, and I saw the white scar made by the hunting knife around his neck. When I woke, I remembered. He has been gone 20 years and not heard from. Charivari.
They capped their heads with feathers, masked their faces, wore their clothes backwards, howled with torches through the midnight winter, and dragged the black man from his house to the jolting music of broken instruments, pretending to each other it was a joke until they killed him. I don't know what happened to the white bride.
The American lady, adding she thought it was a disgraceful piece of business, finished her tea. Note. Never pretend this isn't part of the soil, too, tea drinkers, and inadvertent victims and murderers. When we come this way again in other forms, take care to look behind, within, where the skeleton face beneath the face puts on its feather mask, the arm within the arm lifts up the spear. Resist those cracked drum beats. Stop this. Become human.